The name is why we do this. The name is why we commit ourselves to a church. The name is why we commit ourselves to one another. The name of our Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, Life in the Local Church. Last time, Don showed us the biblical call to gather together and meet as a local church, and also to receive biblical instruction. Today, we'll hear part two of the message, Living Church Membership, focusing in on a third responsibility, actually a privilege, ministering to one another. That manifests itself in several ways that our teacher will also highlight in today's message. So grab your Bible and let's join Don now in the Truth Pulpit.
We receive biblical instruction, and we do so in a unified way. The church's obligation is to make known what it teaches. And the response of people who come is to say, I understand that, I receive that, I affirm that, I live for that, I defend that. Therefore, I want to be a part of a church that upholds what I believe. And so we exist to receive and promote biblical instruction in the spirit of unity. Now, thirdly, as we come around the corner, point number three, we minister to one another. There's been a vertical dimension to what we've said so far in terms of meeting together to honor Christ, to honor the death of Christ, the vertical dimension of proclaiming the word of Christ and receiving that. Well, now we come into a horizontal dimension of the ministry of the church. The membership of the church is not only vertically oriented. There, by the command and design of Christ, there is a horizontal dimension. There is a horizontal commitment to others in the church as well. So as Christ gave himself for the body of the church, we give ourselves to the body in numerous ways. And let me give you five quick aspects of that from the book of Romans. In one sense, the whole New Testament would answer this point. But we're just going to look at five quick things from the book of Romans, five subpoints of how we minister to one another in the body of Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, we minister to one another. How do we minister to one another? Well, first of all, we use our spiritual gifts in the body. We use our spiritual gifts in the body. Look at verse 4. Where the Apostle Paul said, just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So we belong to Christ, but there is a mutual commitment. There is a mutual life that we share in the context of a local church in the principle of spiritual life. We share in this. We're a part of one another. And of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul uses the illustration of a body, an ear, an eye, serving different parts, all part of one body. Well, that's what we're addressing here. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 now. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy and the proclamation of God's word, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There are a variety of ways, Scripture says, that the body of Christ ministers to one another. All of them important. All of us gifted in different measure to serve in different ways, to fit together as puzzle pieces, putting together one unified picture of a body, of serving one another. And so I know for a fact that people who become members of Truth Community are somehow gifted to contribute to the life of the body. because God gifts every Christian in a way so that somehow they contribute to the greater good. We serve each other with our spiritual gifts. That's one way that we minister to one another. Now, Paul goes on. Secondly, we share in each other's joys and sorrows. Look briefly at verse 15 of Romans 12. And I chose passages just out of this last section of Romans for the sake of continuity and to help it all fit together. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so, part of our life together is sharing in the ups and downs, the sorrows and the happinesses of life. We share in life together. And when you're sorrowing, I sorrow with you. When I'm rejoicing, you're rejoicing with me. We share in this together because we are united by the common life of Christ that dwells in each of our hearts. And we realize as we go through life together that sometimes you're going to be happy and I'm going to be sad and vice versa, and we share in that together. Well, look, the only way that that becomes meaningful is if you are committed to the same body of Christians over time. To come in and out of a particular congregation, to be one place one week and another place another week, and never settle down into a church home, makes it impossible for a man or a woman to obey this command of Christ, to share in those joys together. And we don't have a problem with this in our church. As you'll see at the end, for those of you that are visiting, usually the problem that we have in people sharing together is that they won't stop. And, you know, there's a time limit. And our problem usually is we have to come alongside people and say, it's time to go. It's time to go. Because they're so busy sharing in life together, sharing things together. In other places, it's not that way. Some of you have told me that you've come from churches where as soon as the amen was gone, people were in the parking lot. How are we sharing together in life together if we come together, hear a message, and we split right away to get on to whatever else is next in the day? No, we share in each other's joys and sorrows, and the only way that that's meaningful is this, is if you are committed to a body of Christians over time. You stay through hard times as well as the good times in the life of a church. There'll be ups and downs just like there are in your life, but there is a deeper commitment than just saying, I'm just going to ride the top of the wave. I'm not going to go when things get low or when the wave comes into shore and it's not any fun anymore. No, you know, that's not commitment. I'll be committed as long as I'm committed. Well, let's just say, okay, you're not committed then. No, the commitment of membership is an enduring commitment that gives us the opportunity to meaningfully share in life together, to bury parents together, to go through heartaches with children together, to go through financial crises and work out the implications of that, to rejoice when loved ones come to Christ and we see them baptized. All of that, sharing together, ministering together, that's part of the body, the life of the body of Christ. That's how it is supposed to be. Not a group of, 150 people coming together in isolated silos moving about. No, we share this together. We love each other through the good and the bad. That's what Paul is saying when he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, as you go on and read in Romans, you see that there's a third aspect of ministering to one another. We said that not only are you using your spiritual gifts in the body, sharing in the joys and the sorrows in the body. Thirdly, we share in the financial support of the body. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 27. Romans 15, verse 27. Paul makes this very interesting point in the middle of verse 27. He's talking about gathering a collection for the saints in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 26 that in a couple of regions, in Macedonia and Achaia, they made a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Now watch what he says here in verse 27. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. Then he says this, and he gives us a principle that helps us understand the righteous responsibility that we all share in the financial life of a church. He says, for if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. There's a biblical principle that those who share in the spiritual benefit of a ministry should contribute to the financial health of that ministry, that it makes those spiritual things possible. We don't simply eat from the table and not give back. We do both as a recognition of the fact that there's a mutuality that takes place. Now, one of the things that we've done, again, being mindful of the fact that some of you, some of us have come from churches where there was such a heavy hand was played with financial matters on you. And we've made it a point of our church not to do that. We don't pass a plate during the service. We just have a little box outside where people can give, because we want to make it obvious that we are trying to emphasize the fact that we are here to minister spiritual things, not to receive financial things from those that are there. What makes that work is the generosity that marks the people of our church who fulfill their responsibility, who gladly do that, as we've been so abundantly blessed in our church, who do that when they're not prompted to do so in the middle of the service. That's what makes that work. And on behalf of our elders and our leadership, I just want to thank you for the generosity that has put our church in a position of such prosperity that we are able to sustain that. We don't have to prompt you visibly every week with plates passing, because people have embraced that responsibility and do so voluntarily outside. And so all of that simply to say that that financial support is a responsibility of membership. And I'm grateful to be amongst a people where we can make those things happen and sustain the needs of our church without having to wave that heavy hand. We're never going to wave that heavy hand. We'll just live within our means. And so to the extent that that philosophy of ministry appeals to you, your support is what helps make that happen. Thank you from the elders, and God bless you for that. Membership shares in the financial support of the body. Now, fourthly, what else do? We pray for those in the body. Look down in Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. See how he puts Christ at the center of it again? Christ is at the center of everything that we're talking about here today, isn't he? Christ gave himself for the church. And so when you're talking about the life of the church, Christ just comes into the conversation spontaneously. It's as if Christ is making himself known as we talk about this and asserting his divine prerogatives, his rights over us by creation and by redemption, and say, this is what I want. Well, that's what happens when you read his word. Christ makes himself known. He declares what he wants from his people. This is a blessed thing to see. And so Christ, speaking through his word, says in verse 30, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul's saying, please pray for me. Verse 31, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Turn over also to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Just for a cross-reference here, to kind of expand that. You see, Paul asking for prayer. Well, this is to mark the life in the church, that somehow, in the way that we go through life together, somehow, in one way or another, and we're not going to regulate this, but somehow, in one way or another, we are carrying each other in our prayers throughout the week. That the people of Truth Community have a place somewhere in your prayer life. That you're praying for those with whom you share spiritual life together. This is part of our privilege to know that we're not walking through life alone, that we can rest on, depend upon the fact that not only is Christ interceding for us in heaven, but our brothers and sisters in Christ here on earth that we know and that we share the joys and sorrows of life with are praying for us too. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how you cultivate unity in a body. Is it's hard to be divided against people that you're on your knees praying for. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for what? All the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul says, pray for one another. Make it a priority. This is what members of the body of Christ do. They share their spiritual gifts with each other. They share in the joys and sorrows of life. They share financially. They share in prayer together. And then one final point with all of that said, and I've hinted at this already. What do we do as members of the body as we minister to one another? Lastly, this is the fifth of those five subpoints. We consciously preserve the unity of the body. We are jealous to guard the unity of the body together. We don't simply delegate that to leadership. We don't pass over things because we want to avoid conflict. We are mindful of the need to protect the unity. Look at chapter 16, verse 17, where Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ." There it is again, Christ making himself known, saying, "This is what I want for my church." He just injects his name as we look at these things and says, "This is what I'm calling my church to be. This is not the teachings of man. This is what Christ says to us through his word." He says, "Those men who cause dissensions are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." Christ says, watch out for men like that. Watch out for those who start to set one part against another part and realize that they're slaves of their own appetite, even as they come proclaiming themselves to be Christians, even as they come with those. And this is particularly something to watch out for. Those who say, "I have an elevated knowledge of Scripture, an elevated knowledge of Christ." And what you need to do is you need to start turning away from what you've been taught. In the name of a superior knowledge of Christ, they work against the purposes of Christ by dividing his body. Beloved, one of the things that we do as a body, one of the things that church membership does, is we consciously preserve the unity of the body. We're not ignorant of Satan and his schemes. We realize that those things are a threat over time to the health of a church. And together, collectively, we stand together and we say we're going to guard ourselves against such things. Because the Bible says, protect the unity. Guard against dissension. Here's the thing, beloved. Here's how we tie it all together. This is the unifying thought in all of it. We have such a reverence for Christ. We have such a gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ in procuring our redemption at the cost of his own shed blood, that we want to further his purposes, that we want to be loyal to him. Because he's been so good to us, we want to respond with loyalty to him. The unifying thought in all of what we've talked about here today is that this is one of the ways in church membership that we manifest our loyalty and our obedience back to the one who bought us. We meet together. We gather together in His name. We receive instruction from His word in His name. We minister to one another together in His name. In His name. It's not for the name of Truth Community Church or any of its leadership. It is for the name, the name, the name of Christ. The glory of the one who rescued my soul from eternal destruction. The glory of the one whom I will one day see face to face. The glory of the one whom we still proclaim as the only Savior of sinners. For the name, for the name, for the name of Christ to whom the church belongs. Do you see, beloved? That's our motivation in church membership. That's why we gather together and make commitments around doctrine and other life participation. For the name. For the name. Because in His name, this is what He's called us to. We realize the superficiality. We look around. We see the superficiality in the church, small c, around us. And we separate ourselves from that and we say that is not the kind of commitment that Christ has called us to or of whom He is preeminently worthy. The name is why we do this. The name is why we commit ourselves to a church. The name is why we commit ourselves to one another. The name of our Lord Jesus is why we are committed to the church. Because it was for the church that Christ loved Himself and gave Himself at Calvary for the name. Bow with me in prayer. For those of you that have never trusted Christ for your salvation, don't get left behind. I invite you today to turn from sin and to receive this one, this Christ, this great name who died and rose again to gather a people who would live for Him. Come out of the world, won't you? And come to Christ and identify with Him and His people. He calls you to come to the name. Father, as we continue to grow and mature as a body of believers, I pray that You would just help us live out what we have seen from Your word today. Lord Jesus, it's with fear and trembling that we close this service. You make Yourself known. We're mindful that we preach because of a solemn charge made in the presence of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word in season and out of season. It is such a joy to know You, and we are so grateful for our salvation, but we realize that the reception of so great a salvation puts upon us a responsibility of loyalty and fidelity to You that we will one day give an account for. And so help us to be faithful as we meet together, as we receive instruction from Your word, and as we minister to one another. Father, I pray that You would so work these things out in the minds and hearts of Your people that come together here week by week, that there would be a glad sense of response that says, I want to be a part of Truth Community Church. I want to belong to a church that stands for what this church stands for. And Father, may the coming day when we make that affirmation public together in weeks to come, may that be a grand time which gives glory and honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom and through whom we pray. Amen.
And with that, Pastor Don Green has concluded his message, Living Church Membership, here on the Truth Pulpit. And Don, from your perspective as a pastor, what makes for a good church member?
Well, Bill, I don't mind telling you that I know a lot about what makes a good church member because We have so many good church members at Truth Community Church, and what I'm about to describe is simply the pattern that our people live out that are faithful to our church. First of all, a Christian needs to be growing in the Word of God and in prayer daily in his own life. A growing Christian comes and contributes the life that he's been living to the life of a church. That's vital for a person to be growing individually, even apart from, you know, the gathering together of the saints. But secondly, and equally important, my friend, it is vital for you to approach life in the church as a place where you go to give of yourself, not to get for yourself. If you approach life in the church as a place where you go to minister and to freely give, you'll find that God is blessing that generous spirit, which reflects the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give his life and laid it down for the sake of our souls.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to find out how to get free CDs of Don's messages. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Next time, Don turns our attention to the subject of baptism. Join us then here on The Truth Pulpit.